It's early November and winter weather is just around the corner. Even though some people are still harvesting tomatoes, it is time to get your garden ready for the season to come. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day. Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames, will be here, along with horticulturist Richard Giron of Iowa State University Extension. We'll talk about preparing your yard and garden for winter, covering the strawberries, prepping the roses, and getting ready to fend off hungry bunnies and deer. Aaron and Richard will also answer your questions. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and the fall has been so mild it's been easy to push aside thoughts of winter. But it is coming, and today we're going to talk about getting ready for it. And one of the ways we're getting ready for winter is also discontinuing doing Hort Day every single week. We'll be on every other week through the winter months. And then starting in March, we will be back to doing weekly Horticulture Days. And with me today, Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames. Hello, Aaron.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, it's great being here.
And horticulturist Richard Giron of Iowa State University Extension. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here today. And it has been so beautiful and so warm. I saw a picture on Facebook yesterday of somebody harvesting tomatoes from their garden on November 5th, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So I think probably a lot of us have put off our winter chores, don't you think?
I think so. And, you know, in many cases, it's okay. I mean, many of these chores are dependent on the weather. And we have had a wonderful fall, nice, long, extended season. And as a result, have seen a lot of great fall color and haven't been able to enjoy planting bulbs instead of doing it in really cold temperatures and soil. So it's overall, I think it's great.
I'm sure a lot of us have enjoyed it. But now at this point, what do we need to be thinking about? And then let's start in the garden.
Yeah. So we know winter is coming. It's going to get here eventually. And one of the things you'll want to look at first and foremost is leaves on the lawn, because if you leave any of those deciduous leaves laying and forming a mat on your lawn, you're going to cause a lot of problems with smothering grass and those kinds of things. And so making sure that you remove those leaves in some way is going to be really important this time of year. You can do the traditional rake and remove and then start a compost pile or send them to the city compost. You can use them to help maybe add a little bit of extra insulation to your perennial beds, although you have to be a little careful not to smother your perennials too. But getting them off the lawn is going to be really important. You know, there's another trick you can do as well that for some folks may be a little easier, and that's mowing them into the lawn. If you can get those leaves chopped up into pieces small enough that they'll go down in between the gray blades of grass, you can add organic matter to the soil and really reduce the amount of work potentially of getting those leaves off of the lawn, which is really really great.
Yes, absolutely. Now, with plants that may have had some diseases through the summer in your garden, do you need to take special precautions?
Well, we get a lot of questions at the gardens, and I know Richard gets a lot of questions about this too, as it relates to cutting back perennials or cutting back other plants in the fall. And by and large, if you don't have to, you shouldn't. That extra foliage will help the plant better over winter. And the only exception to that rule is going to be if you have a serious disease issue. So if you have peonies this year that were covered in powdery mildew, this would be the time of year to remove that leaf material, because you don't want to leave that stuff in the garden over winter as a source for reinfection next year. So By and large, unless it causes you problems, you can leave the foliage. And for some plants, this is really beneficial, like ornamental grasses, because it looks nice over the winter. And for other plants, it's really beneficial because it really helps them overwinter well. And one of those that we get questions about a lot is asparagus. Asparagus, just leave it alone. Let the stem sit over winter. It'll collect stuff. It'll help protect the crowns of that plant so that you can get some nice spears in the spring.
All right. And, you know, we think about, of course, strawberries in the garden, other things that are perennials. Is it too early to even worry about the strawberries?
It's because of the weather. It's a little early still. Ideally, you want to cover things like strawberries, which need a little bit of protection to get through our winters. Once the temperatures get consistently lower, you don't want it to get much colder than 20 degrees, but you want it to be in the 30s when you're doing this. So to do that, you're simply going to spread. You usually have to put up a fence. I always put up a fence so it doesn't blow away, just like a little chicken wire fence. Now would be a great time to do that because you can get the post in the ground before the ground freezes. And usually 3 to 5 inches, maybe 6 inches of a good straw is a nice mulch to put over top of those strawberries. A lot of folks are tempted to put leaves. Even the wonderful oak leaves will mat down and potentially cause issues for those plants. So you want the straw as a nice mulch because it won't do that.
Straw for the strawberries. That's
straw for the strawberries. Yep, absolutely. And that will help protect those flower buds so that you get fruit in the spring. It will also help keep the plants in the ground. The natural freeze-thaw cycle can heave some plants out of the ground really easily, and strawberries are one of those plants.
Now, last week on the show, we were talking about cover crops, and there's still a little bit of time to get cover crops planted. With this very mild fall, has that extended the fall planting season?
Yeah, it's still kind of late to plant. I would say it's too late to plant perennials at this point. They just won't get very well established before the cold part of winter comes. If you have a woody plant, you could potentially get it in the ground. Of course, planting them is still better than trying to overwinter them in containers. So if they're sitting on your back deck and they still haven't been put in the ground, absolutely get them in the ground before winter. But if you're seeing some really good deals and you're a little worried about overwintering them, it is harder to overwinter things that are planted this late. The only exception to that are bulbs. So tulips, daffodils, all that stuff, you can put that stuff in the ground until the ground freezes.
Well,
so,
and there are probably some pretty good sales on bulbs if you haven't already gotten
them. I've noticed
them at this
that. Yeah, I have noticed that. So if you see them, and heck, this weekend would be a wonderful weekend to get that done because the weather is supposed to be fairly nice, I think. So, you know, get those clearance things and get them in the ground and enjoy them next spring.
Now, I have also seen pictures of people's roses still blooming and
the
other
roses,
things like that. So
the roses at Ryman Gardens still look wonderful because we haven't had a really hard freeze yet. So they're just blooming their little hearts out.
Okay, so we always worry about overwintering our roses. And obviously, if they're still blooming, you don't want to do anything. But what do we do and when do we know that it's time?
Yeah, so for most shrub roses, a lot of the roses that are sold today are winter hardy for us. And so there's not a lot of need for extra protection. But if you're growing hybrid teas, floribundas, grandifloras, more marginal roses for this far north, you will need to provide some protection for them. At Ryman Gardens, the few roses that we have left that require this protection get kind of this routine. It typically starts around Thanksgiving when we do this. We want the ground to be cold. We want frost to have hit. And we want things to have started to go dormant before we start this process. In most years, that's around Thanksgiving for us, maybe the first week in December. What we're going to do is tie up the canes to get them out of the way. We are not pruning anything at this point. A lot of people are tempted to prune back things that are marginally hardy this time of year. You want as much plant material as possible to go through the winter to help that plant get through the winter. We'll put a mound of soil at the base, about 12 inches thick. We'll put a fence around the plant or the bed if there's multiple plants in that area, and put 3 to 4 feet of straw. We have over 95% success rate with overwintering our roses this way. It works very well, even in the most extreme winters. And then you'll want to remove all of that straw and extra soil usually around mid-March when things start to warm up again. And it'll probably take a couple days because you'll pull the straw off and you'll notice that part of it's still frozen. So you'll have to wait a day or two for it to thaw off and pull more off.
Now, I think Richard has had an opportunity to say this already this season, but we do still see rose cones for sale. How do you feel about those, Aaron?
Oh, my gosh. I don't get the rose cones. They act like little greenhouses, and they actually can warm up plants in the winter. And I don't know anybody who owns a plant that you would not have to trim to get under that thing. And we don't want to trim these plants this time of year. So, and then they're not that attractive either. I don't know why they don't make them in green, at least. They're always white.
That reflects sunlight. That's good.
That's true. That's true. That is
but
true.
Thumbs down for me.
So. I don't like the rose cones either.
All right. We're unanimous on the rose cones. All right. It's also the time of year to start thinking about your plants. And, you know, it may be a mild winter. Who knows? But still, rabbits and deer get hungry over the winter. So what do we need to do right now before it's too miserable to do it to think about protecting our plants?
This is the time of year to be thinking about this stuff. And you can start this type of work anytime now. Young trees and shrubs are at desirable to rodents and rabbits over the winter in particular. They have that young bark that's easily eaten off, and a desperate rabbit will eat that stuff over the winter. And the problem is that just under that bark is where all of the nutrients and water are being transported from the roots to the leaves. And if you damage that area, you sever that transportation route and you get dieback or death of the plant. So you have to protect that young tree or shrubs from this type of damage. And there's two ways you can do this. You can do some wrapping, and this works really well on single-stemmed or multi-stemmed trees, putting a tree wrap of some sort around the bark of that tree to keep those mouths off of it works very well. And you could put that on those trees anytime now, and you'll want to be sure to remove it in the spring to allow the plant to continue to grow. Because trees grow just as much out as they do up. Well, maybe not quite just as much, but they do grow out quite a bit. So you gotta get that stuff off. The other option, and this works particularly well for shrubs, and this we do a lot of this at Ryman Gardens because we have a very large bunny population at the gardens, is caging plants. And it essentially looks like a cage. You're putting a fence around the plant to keep the rabbits out. This is a great time of year to do it because you can get the posts in the ground because they're not frozen yet. You need chicken wire works great with some rebar or something like that. And you're just getting it around the plant to keep the bunnies off. The important thing to remember is that that chicken wire needs to be at minimum 24 inches tall, more likely 36. We use 36-inch high chicken wire fencing at the gardens because you get snowpack. And if you get enough snow, the bunnies can hop over the top. And then if we don't have a heavy snow, you'll also want to make sure that the bottom is secure, either by burying it a little bit or pinning it down with landscape pins to keep them from going under the fence.
All right. And maybe this weekend is the weekend to get out.
Yeah, I've already started this process at home.
All right. Yeah. Good for you. Pat on the back for Aaron. The rest of us are a little more behind. But all right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. Aaron Style is here, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames. Horticulturist Richard Giron is here from Iowa State University Extension. And you are welcome to join the conversation with your questions. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. With me, horticulturist Richard Giron of Iowa State University Extension and Aaron Style, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames. And they are here to answer your questions. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we'll start with Linda in Iowa City. Hi, Linda.
Hey, I got a follow-up on the tree question.
Okay.
How big or how old does a young tree need to be to stop wrapping them?
Well, the trunk has to be several inches in diameter. And so anything less than probably 4 to 5 inches in diameter, you probably should wrap.
As a tree, several years old, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Several years old. As the tree grows, that bark layer gets thicker and thicker, and eventually gets so thick they can't really chew through it to get down to the edible food. So when that bark begins to maybe crack a little bit, gets quite thick, then you can stop doing it.
Okay, we've been using these curly plastic things. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And some of them are too tight on some of the trees.
Okay.
Is there an alternative to that type of wrapping?
Well, one, you could use the hardware cloth, which is metal fencing.
Uh-huh.
And you can cut that and make a cylinder that goes around the trunk. It should be at least an inch or two wider in diameter than the trunk. You can attach that to one or two wooden or metal stakes, and that can actually stay there year-round. It's not mm-hmm. resting on the trunk. It's not doing anything to the trunk. That can stay there year-round. If you use anything that actually goes on the trunk, like these vinyl wraps, they need mm-hmm. to come off in the spring. The hardware cloth can stay there year-round.
Excellent.
All right, Linda, thanks a lot for your call.
Thank you.
866-780-9100 is the number. Our email address is talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Terry is next in Illinois City. Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
Okay, I have a red strawberry bed, and I know you've got to cover the top. But what about protecting the sides? Is that necessary?
Oh, so you have a raised strawberry bed. Okay. What do you think?
So is that in contact with the ground, or is it actually above the ground?
It's just a box on the ground with strawberries in it, and they are above ground level by about a foot. So do I need to protect the outside of that box?
I would try to, if you can, put some along the outside of it just to kind of moderate the soil temperatures, because being above ground level, they might get a little bit colder than they would otherwise. So I would put something along the side if I can.
So just more straw or what?
More straw. Okay. More straw.
Straw bales or?
If you can, yes.
All right. Thank you so much for your call, Terry. And next up, we'll go to Wally in Des Moines. Hi, Wally.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
It all began with Creeping Charlie. And I've listened to your show for quite a while.
Our favorite weed, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not mine. But at any rate, last year I heard you mention the chemical triclopyr, mm-hmm. and I ran up to my local hardware store and purchased something with triclopyr. Hey, mm-hmm. and this spring it worked pretty well. There was some residual, and I was at another store. It was a big box store, and I saw a chemical with triclopyr in it. I thought, well, I'll get that. And I sprayed the lawn, and about a week later, my grass is dead. So I used the wrong chemical.
Oh.
My question is, well, yeah, it was apparently killed the grass as well as everything.
Okay.
But I put some seed on it. I don't know if that's going to be enough. Is this grass likely to come up next year, next spring? Or should I think about, tearing it up and starting again?
Okay. Now, triclopyr would not kill the grass. So apparently you applied something else that did.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it something like Roundup or glyphosate? Do you know?
No, and I'm not sitting here with it, but okay. It was a brush killer.
Oh, a brush killer. Yeah, I think that probably did contain probably glyphosate would be my guess, or something very similar to it. So mm-hmm. I'm going to make the assumption that the grass is totally dead. Okay, it's not going to come back. And as far as seeding it, if you just went out there and just broadcast some seed over the ground, it's probably not going to germinate, because you need to get the seed somehow into the soil a little bit. You need that seed-to-soil contact, direct contact. So my guess would be I would wait till spring, and I would probably – is it a big area or a small area?
Oh, it's throughout my whole yard, wherever I saw this stuff.
Okay, so it's a pretty huge area?
Yeah.
Okay. What I would probably do is either get a power rake or a core aerator – and run that over the yard once or twice. And that kind of disturbs the soil. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would sow the grass seed and then rake the area with like a garden rake to kind of work the seed into the soil. I would probably do this around maybe late April or so. And then I would keep the seed bed moist by watering frequently. And hopefully that grass seed should come up. But I'm afraid that you probably killed the grass and you're going to have to reseed.
All right. Wally, good luck with that project. Thanks a lot for your call. Next up, let's go to Steve in Toledo. Hi, Steve.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
I have a bed of thornless blackberries. It's probably 7-8 years old, and they've expanded via suckers and what have you. I was wondering what the proper time to trim them is, and how short do I trim them?
Okay.
And also, this year I had some thorns appear on some.
Hmm.
Would they be mutating, or would that maybe be volunteer seed from a bird?
I would guess they might have mutated, possibly, where they could do that. That occurs in nature. As far as pruning them, I would prune them in late winter, typically late March, maybe early April. So late winter, early spring before they begin to leaf out. And I would essentially prune out just the dead wood. And that should be pretty obvious by that time. How tall do the canes get, typically?
Oh, 6 feet tall.
Okay. So that's what I would do next spring. And then when the new canes come up next spring, when they get about, let's say, 3.5 to 4 feet tall, go out there and remove the upper 3 or 4 inches of the shoot tip. And that way they won't get taller. They'll send out some side branches, and those side branches will produce fruit the next year, and you should get a better crop, and they won't be nearly as tall.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks a lot for your call, Steve. The number is 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. It's Horticulture Day today with Richard Giron of Iowa State University Extension and Aaron Stile of Ryman Gardens in Ames. Here's an email from Mary in Des Moines. What should I do to protect knockout roses for the winter?
You know, knockout is, for the most part, pretty hardy, although if we have a really severe winter, you may see some damage on the plants. If you're really concerned about it, you could put a cage around it and put 3 or 4 feet of straw around the plant itself. You know, put a chicken wire kind of cylinder around it or a hardware cloth cylinder around it and put straw in there. Most years, knockout rose will survive without any issue. So unfortunately, though, we can't predict what the winter will be like.
They have
fully
a good shot.
They have a good shot. And don't prune them. Wait until the spring, because knockout roses, the best way to prune those are to wait until just before they bud out and to prune out all the dead and leave everything else.
All right. This one is from Rout in Cedar Rapids. I have a lot of mint plants that I planted a few years ago next to my lawn. They keep spreading now into my lawn. I've tried to control them, but there's no way I can limit or stop them entirely. Any suggestions?
Oh, that stinks.
It's very, very difficult. I think what I would try to do would be to dig up a few plants, possibly, and put those in pots, and I would try to destroy the rest.
All right.
It's going to take persistence and patience.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any kind of a physical barrier? Like if you wanted a bed, can you plant, you know, put something that goes down far enough to stop the roots from spreading?
You possibly could, but it'd have to be pretty deep, like a foot or maybe two.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah.
And, I just don't trust it. I only trust it in a pot, basically. Otherwise, if it gets out, it's very, very hard to kill. So I would definitely, if I wanted some plants, I'd dig up some plants, put them in pots, and then try to destroy the rest and realize this may be a long-term project.
All right.
That may take a year or two.
You can't trust mint farther
no,
than
can't.
You can throw it, huh? All right.
It's very aggressive.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a question from William. My son has moved to Nashville this year and has a shady backyard. I have an ample supply of hostas that I'd like to take down next spring. My question is, when I walk around the neighborhood while the grandkids are napping, I don't see any hostas in any of the yards. Not a one. Is Nashville too far south for my hostas?
No, shouldn't be. No.
All right. Maybe they're just not that popular.
Right. They probably use other ground covers. For example, in the south, liriope or liriope is very, very common, more common actually than hosta.
Oh, so. Interesting. All right. Jenny is on the line next from Cedar Rapids. Hi, Jenny.
Hi there. I had a question. We've taken our house plants, some of them outside in the summer, and now have brought them in the house, and they have ants. And so when you water them, a bunch of ants come out of the soil. So primarily they're in the soil. I wondered, what would be the easiest way to get rid of those?
So that you have a couple of options. I've had this same thing happen to me too. One of the things you can do is you can force them all out by submerging the pot underwater. So fill your bathtub up, something like that, and get them down under the water, hold them down, and let them sit there for a half hour or so. And then let the pot drain out. Hopefully that will help kind of, you might have to do it a couple of times to get all of these ants out.
The whole plant or
the
just
whole,
the pot?
Just the pot, just okay. The soil.
Won't they go up the plant?
Potentially. Then you have to rinse it off. That's why I like the shower, because then I can rinse them off too. It's going to be a project. You know, the other thing that I've done, and I've actually had some success, most of the time, these ants will not last the whole time, because it's only if the queen is living in the pot too will these ants be there long term. And most of the time, that's not the case. So a worker ant is only going to live for several weeks to months at the very most, and eventually they will go away. I've set 8 ant bait traps in the pot itself with some success too. But you have to be careful with that, though, if you have pets or kids. So if that's not an issue for you, setting those traps in there can help too. But it is kind of a challenge to when they take up inside your containers like that. But I do think getting most of them out by submerging the pot and then keeping up with it over the next couple of weeks, maybe having to do it one more time, maybe utilizing some of those bait traps could help you get rid of them. And know that even if you didn't do anything, the chances are more likely than not that most of those ants will die in the next month or two.
All right. Jenny, thanks a lot for your call. Next up, Becky in Dubuque. Hi, Becky.
Hi.
What's your question?
Well, I'm wondering if there's still time today or tomorrow to separate my irises and plant them.
Boy. I would probably wait if I had an option. Now, if I had to do it for some reason, let's say I was moving or something of that nature where I could not do it next year, I would do it this year. But if you can wait, I would definitely wait, because it is so late. They don't have much time to get reestablished. I'm fearful that they may not survive very well at this point. So I would say if you can wait, I would wait until next summer.
Next summer, okay.
Right. Typically, we typically do it, if we can, in July, August, or early September.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Becky. Next up, we've got John in Walford. Hi, John.
Good morning.
Hi. What's your question?
We have 2 holly bushes, one male and female. I think we've had them for about 15 years. In the last few years, they just seem to be dying out. There's a lot of dead stuff, especially in the center. Is this a time of year, or can I cut or prune all that dead stuff out?
When you're dealing with a tree or shrub, you can always prune out dead wood at any time during the year. It doesn't really matter. So you can go out there right now and do it, but do not cut back the live wood. Just the dead wood, you're perfectly fine.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, John. Next up, we've got Dave and Spencer. Hi, Dave.
Hi there.
What's your question? Yeah.
In mid-September, I planted some garlic bulbs, and they haven't broken through the ground. I dug a few up, and they have roots and no sprouts. Are they going to make it through the winter?
Well, they should. Now, I would cover them with several inches of straw to make sure they do, or to encourage that. But They should be okay, but I would cover them up with several inches of straw.
Okay, well, I have that. That was going to be my next question, if I should mulch them. So, okay, well, thanks for your answer.
All right, thanks a lot, Dave. And now we've got Sue on the line in Fairfield. Hi, Sue.
Hi. When is the ideal time to prune a grape plant? Is it too late now? And if it is, like, probably should wait till when? Spring? Or is it usually done earlier in the fall?
Well, the ideal time typically is March or early April before they begin to leaf out. That's the ideal time. You want to do that in late winter, early spring.
Okay, then I'll wait. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call. This is an email from David in Waukee. Last winter, we covered our strawberries with pine needles, and that worked very well. Is that something you'd recommend?
Yeah, and that's the same. That still has that same property that straw does, where it doesn't mat down and smother plants. So that can work really nicely.
All right, and here's an email from Dennis in Moline. My wide-leafed hydrangeas are still producing blooms. Do I need to cut these back? If so, should I do it now or in the spring?
Oh, I wouldn't cut them back. I would enjoy those dried blossoms all winter. There's no need to cut them back now.
All right. And this one's from Shirley. When is the best time to trim back lilacs?
Well, it depends on how you're doing it. So if you're out there with a hedge trimmers, trying to make some kind of gumball-shaped lilac, you need to do it right after they're done flowering. Otherwise, you can do it late winter, early spring.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. With me, Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames, and horticulturist Richard Giron of Iowa State University Extension. You can join the conversation, 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. With me, horticulturist Richard Giron of Iowa State University Extension and Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames. You can join the conversation at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Chris is on the line next in Story City. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What's your question?
Well, I planted a tree about 3 years ago or so in my front yard, and it's established roots, but the wind and all the moisture that we had this year, the tree is tilted. And I'm trying to figure out the best way to straighten that tree back up so it grows vertical.
Okay, what kind of tree is it?
Honestly, I can't tell you the name of the tree.
Is it an evergreen or a deciduous tree?
It's a deciduous. It's got a smaller leaf.
Okay. I guess what I'd probably try doing is early next spring, before it leafs out, maybe staking it.
Okay.
And I would do it in the spring when it has no foliage so that it's lighter in weight and where you can kind of pull back the trunk. Now, when
it's
you stake it...
all its leaves now, so would it be too late in the season to do it now? Or
no, you could probably do it this fall if you want.
Okay.
Now, when you stake it... you don't want to put anything around the trunk that would basically eat into the wood. So no wire. It needs to be something that is wide and stretchable. And when you do stake it, it shouldn't be held rigid. There should be some movement where the trunk can move somewhat when we have a storm. If you keep it too rigid, it might just break off in a storm. So there should be some give there. So, but you want to pull it back and use something that is not going to eat into the bark.
Okay. Super.
All right. Yep. Thanks
Thank
a lot
you
for your
much.
Call, Chris.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Next up, Sherry in West Des Moines. Hi, Sherry.
Hi there. Hey, I was wondering if anybody's heard of the product that you can buy now at hardware stores called neem oil. It's made from a tree. From Africa.
Yeah.
And you can water your pots with that before you bring them in, and it does kill not only the bug, but keeps eggs from hatching, and
yeah,
having good luck with it.
Yeah, it's a nice kind of more organic pesticide.
Yeah.
I like to use it on my house plants because those plants are indoors, and it seems a little nicer to use that type of product in my house.
Yeah.
You can also use it as a foliar spray if you mix it up the way that the label directions tell you to help with some control of things like a scale and mealybug and those kinds of things too.
Yes, it worked real well on jade plants that I bought at a greenhouse that were just loaded with bugs. And so I just kept watering with it, and now they're beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. My arsenal of things to help my house plants includes insecticidal soap and neem oil.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And then one quick question. My garlic, I planted it a couple weeks ago, covered it with straw, then pine needles. Now it's sprouting. Is that going to be okay?
It should be okay, yeah.
Okay.
It should survive the winter.
All right. Sherry, thanks a lot for your call. Next up, let's go to Cheryl in Boone County. Hi, Cheryl.
Hello. Hi. I have a question about asparagus. We have a small, two small clusters of asparagus that have probably been here forever on this farmstead. And this spring, I thought that, and I didn't think they seemed very... they didn't bear a lot, you know, and they look kind of scraggly yet this fall. I wonder, do they ever require any type of, I heard you say earlier to leave everything around them this fall, and we always do that, but do they ever need to be pruned like in March or April? Or?
Well, we typically suggest that you leave that debris over the winter months because that debris will catch snow, kind of insulates the ground so the crowns don't get so cold in the wintertime, so that's beneficial. And also, once the snow melts, it provides water for the plants. We do recommend cutting that dead debris back to the ground, typically late March, early April.
All right.
Now, if the plants are real kind of maybe kind of weak, what you might want to do is maybe just let the plants grow for a year and not harvest any spears and see if the plant doesn't revigorate itself.
All right. Cheryl, thank you so much for your call. Here's a Twitter question from Haley. Is it too late to put sod in?
No, you can do that. If you do, do it as soon as possible. Keep it well watered. Keep it well watered until the ground freezes.
All right. And it looks like we're going to be in the 50s for another week. So that would give time for
right.
Roots to
right.
dig in there?
Right.
Yeah, but ideally, she'd do it this weekend, really.
Do it as soon as possible.
Yeah.
But
take the afternoon off. Do it today.
The roots will actually keep on growing until the ground freezes. And that shouldn't probably happen until late November, early December. So there's still about a month there yet.
All right. Here's a question from Marlene. When is the best time to prune a large magnolia bush, and how many branches is it okay to take off?
I would wait again until the spring. A lot of folks are really tempted to prune this time of year, and really, ideally, you would wait until spring. And in any plant, magnolia included, you wouldn't want to remove any more than about a third of the plant in any one pruning session. So, and that would be on the extreme end, really. And I would wait, honestly, with magnolia, since it blooms so early, I'd probably wait till just after it's done flowering to prune it. But you could do it just before, too.
All right. Here's a question from Joe in Boone. Is it too late in the year to dig and transplant red raspberries?
I would say the best time would be early spring. Typically early April, as soon as the ground thaws out, before they leaf out, that would be a good time to do that.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. Jenny is on the line in Des Moines. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What's your question?
So I just acquired a quarter acre of land, and it used to be a lawn, and we are converting it into an urban garden. And so this past week we ripped and rolled sod, got rid of that. I'm going to amend the soil soon. But the question is, what should I do with the land over the winter? I'm not going to be able to get cover crops in. Should I tarp it, or what would you recommend?
Is it basically flat on a slope?
Yeah, it's a flat, bare soil.
Okay. Well, there shouldn't be too much in the way of erosion, so that's good. I guess I would just leave it bare at this point.
Okay.
Or if you intend to get some compost, maybe put that on top and then till it in early next spring.
Okay. Would you till it this fall as well? Or would you just leave the soil as is right now with compost?
I think I would just leave it as is. Leave the compost on top. That's a little bit more coarse. That shouldn't blow away or run off or anything of that nature. And then maybe till it in early next spring.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you.
All right, Jenny, thanks a lot for your call. Next up, we've got Karen in Radcliffe. Hi, Karen.
Karine.
Oh, Karine, hello. What's your question?
I have, I think it's more like a miniature dahlia that I planted on my baby's grave this spring, and it bloomed so beautifully. I determined that I wanted to keep the tubers, and I want to know what's the best way to store them. They're small because
right.
the plant was, I think it is a miniature dahlia, but it okay. just bloomed gorgeously.
Okay. So have you dug it up yet at this point?
Yes, I dug it. I hope I didn't dig it too early.
Okay.
But the top was, I think the top had frosted.
Okay. So what I would do is actually wash that those tuberous roots. Wash
okay.
them, actually.
I did
so
that
they're nice and clean.
It was very muddy.
Okay. Let them dry for a day or two. And then I would get a small box. And
okay.
you're also going to need some type of packing material.
Will peanuts work? Like you
well, I wouldn't probably use, them? Yeah. I would tend to use something like vermiculite.
Oh, okay.
Or peat.
All right, something maybe, organic.
Well, or something like wood shavings, small wood shavings.
Okay.
And then I would put a layer in the bottom of my box and then place my dahlia on top of that and then cover with additional material. Okay. And then you want to store these in a cool, dry place.
Yeah, my basement.
And ideally, the temperature should be around 40 to 45. And for most people, that's the most difficult part.
Yeah.
Where do you find that elusive 40 to 45 degree temperature? But that's what you're looking for. That way, the packing material prevents the tuberous roots from drying out and dying. And the cold temperatures keep it dormant.
Okay.
And that's what you need.
Well, I could keep it in the garage for quite a while.
For a while, but definitely once it gets below freezing, it has to come inside because if those tuberous roots freeze, they're gone. So,
all right. Karine, thank you so much for your call, and I hope that works out well. Next, Bob in Dubuque. Hi, Bob.
Yes. I was cleaning the yard out this fall and noticed quite a bit of large, ribbony kind of mushrooms. And then I've also noticed a bunch of mushrooms popping up in my grass. So I'm wondering if there's something I have to do to prevent them from coming back next spring.
Well, there's not a lot you will be able to do other than to just rake and remove them. By and large, what you're seeing with these mushrooms is equivalent to a flower. And you don't want, they're decomposing something in the lawn, whether it's an old tree root that's died or an old stump or a lot of coarse mulch. There's something in there that they're breaking down, and that's good. So you don't want to discourage that. And so raking and removing the mushrooms is probably going to be your best option if they bother you. But in terms of trying to put down a fungicide or something like that, it's not a good thing to do, and it would be very difficult despite that.
Right, it wouldn't work. So
right.
Fungicides are ineffective.
All right. Bob, thanks a lot for your call. Next, let's go to Judy in Cedar Falls. Hi, Judy.
Hi. We have a pagoda dogwood that's 15 years old and last year developed golden canker.
Mm.
We've been whacking bits off, and now it's really ugly.
Okay.
We couldn't keep up with it. So the tree's going away.
Okay.
Are there other things that we should not or could plant in the approximate same spot?
Okay. Most plant pathogens are host-specific, and so that canker shouldn't attack any other plant. So if you put something else in there that likes partial shade, like maybe, for example, a serviceberry or juneberry or possibly a hardy redbud, they should be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then one last question. We have a witch hazel that always blooms the last week in October. And it's still blooming now.
Mm-hmm.
When do we prune that?
I would prune that basically, again, in late winter, early spring before it leaves out.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot for your call. And let's do another email question here. This one's from Barry. I have a 3-foot-tall maple tree from seed that popped up this year in a flower bed. I allowed it to grow there with the intent of transplanting it to another location in my yard. Can I still do that this year, or should I wait until spring? And what do I need to be sure of when transplanting?
I would do that in early spring before it leaves out and just make sure it has a nice little ball of dirt around it and keep it well-watered that growing season.
This one's from Tyler. I'm looking at growing some pumpkins next year. Most of the seeds say to have a soil pH of 6 to 6.5. Right now, the soil pH is 7.5. Is it necessary to try to lower the pH?
No, they'll be fine. They're giving him the ideal conditions for that pumpkin, but rarely do we see pH that low in the Midwest, the upper Midwest. So many people grow pumpkins in pH of that size, and they'll be just fine.
All right. And this one's from Kathy. I have several large bags of organic non-treated hardwood sawdust. Can I use this as a light mulch on my gardens?
You can during the growing season. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones. Linda in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I didn't get out to get my trees wrapped before the deer got to them. The nice weather fooled me or whatever. So we have one young pear tree that has an awful lot of the bark rubbed off. And we've put some wrap around it just to protect it for the time being. Is there anything we can do to encourage the bark to grow back? Can we graft from the healthy part down to the lower section where it's also healthy to keep circulation of nutrients happening?
There's really not much you can do once the damage has occurred. Wrapping it, painting it doesn't really do any good. The main thing is make sure that no additional damage occurs. And next year what I would do is try to have some wooden or metal stakes pounded around the tree by late September.
And, of course, she wasn't having a problem with deer eating the bark. She was having a problem with the bucks rubbing the velvet off of their antlers.
They tend to do that basically beginning in October. And so that's when most of that occurs is October, early November. So,
all right. Thanks a lot for your call, Linda. Jim is next in Moline. Hi, Jim.
Hi there. Wondering about aerating ground, if it's good to do the holes or the slits, if there's really a difference.
Well, if you have a clay type soil, you want to improve drainage by using a core aerator that pulls out, plugs the soil, and ideally one that goes down maybe 2 or 3 inches in depth. And if you use a core aerator, I would go over the yard probably at least 2 or 3 times in different directions. The best time to do that would be in the spring around maybe late April and also in September. But that's much better than, let's say, a vertical lawnmower or something of that nature.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call. And next we've got Melody in Urbandale. Hi, Melody.
Yes, I see a lot of different trees wrapped with multicolored yarn as a decorative feature around their trunks.
Yeah.
Is that acceptable? Can you only do that for maybe one season, then have to cut it away? Just wanted to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, so they got yarn bombed, right?
Yeah.
So the typically it's not going to cause a lot of damage. The only thing I would worry about is it holding a lot of moisture up next to the tree. And so ideally it wouldn't be there more than a season. But yarn is, for the most part, organic, unless they're using really terrible yarn that has polyester in it or something. I don't know if that even exists. But for the most part, it's organic. It'll eventually break down. My only worry would be that holding of the moisture right up next to the bark, which might invite some issues. But for a season or for a summer, it's not going to cause any damage to the tree.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Melody. And we'll slip in one more question here from Ruth. Should hostas be pruned back or left alone?
Cut them back sometime in the fall.
All right. Richard Duran, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Iowa State University Extension horticulturist Richard Duran. Aaron Stile, thank you.
Thank you for having me here.
Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames. And as the growing season has ended and it's getting colder, we are going to shift to doing Horticulture Day every other week from this point forward. But don't worry, we will still be here to answer your questions. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Claire Roth. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa. Have a great weekend.